As many of you know, in the season of Lent, I do not like to spoil the surprise of what happens at Easter. Today's gospel lesson from John makes that very difficult, because this whole lesson is about resurrection. It's about Jesus bringing Lazarus back from the dead. And, I guess you've probably heard before, resurrection is the big deal on Easter as well. This story shows what's going to happen as clearly as any story in Scripture will up until that time. So we're going to talk about it, but I'm not going to go all the way with it, so don't get too excited. We're still going to try to save a little bit of the Easter for Easter. Now, the importance of this story today about Jesus raising Lazarus, it's more than just a single miracle of resurrection. It is more even than foreshadowing what is going to happen with Jesus. This is the last of Jesus' great big miracle stories in John's Gospel. It's also the last of these extremely long Gospel lessons. Maybe I shouldn't try to read that to all the kids when they're this long. You could just leave well enough alone and let them go to Sunday school. At least the 1 4-year-old.
Yeah.
So it goes. So anyway, earlier in today's reading, remember before the action really got started, when you thought we might be nearing the end, we weren't even a quarter of the way through. Jesus' disciples don't want Jesus to go back to Judea because they think he'll be killed. The last time he was there, they had tried to stone him, and Jesus had to flee from being stoned to death. So he is not popular among the religious authorities there. Now, Jesus' disciples are not wrong, as we'll see in a week or so here. But Jesus goes anyway. Immediately following today's lesson, in fact, the next thing that happens is that some of the people who see this go back to the Pharisees, and they tell them what Jesus has done. And the Pharisees and the high priest get together, and they decide that they have to kill Jesus. Like, that's it. This is the last straw. This guy has to die. And the reason they say to do it is interesting. I'm going to read it for you now. They say, "This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." So they're afraid that if Jesus keeps going, then everyone will believe in him. And if everyone believes in him, then the Romans will see that as a threat to their political power, because all the people of Israel will be united under Jesus in a way they've not been before. And then they think the Romans will destroy the temple and destroy the way of life in the nation itself. They think, so to preserve our nation and to preserve God's house, the temple, we have to kill Jesus. They say, let's kill one man for the good of the nation. And as is John's way, it's an ironic thing that the high priest says, let us kill one man for the good of the nation, because he's speaking the truth even though he doesn't know it. But anyway, that's what's going to happen next. These folks are going to decide, this is it. If Jesus is going to be raising people from the dead, everybody's going to believe in him. We can't have that. We can't have the status quo upset that much. We can't let the temple be destroyed. We can't let our society be changed in that way. We need to hold on to this building, the temple, hold on to what we know, rather than trusting what God may have in store next. And that's why Jesus dies soon thereafter. Now, there's even more significance to today's story. I read a commentary that described, and I didn't do the math myself, but I believe it, that this story comes in the very center of John's Gospel. And in fact, Jesus' conversation with Martha in this story comes in the center of this reading, in the center of John's Gospel. And it's centered in that way because it's an extremely important thing. It's a central part of John's message about Jesus. So let's hear it again, because I'm sure you weren't able to pay attention to every single word of the Gospel lesson. Who has that attention span? So certainly not a 4-year-old. So, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Now here it gets really real, so pay attention to this part. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." In John's Gospel, Jesus makes a number of these I am statements. He says, "I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the light of the world," is the one we heard just last weekend. "I am the true vine." I'm forgetting one. Anyway, I didn't write them all down. But Jesus makes all these I am statements. Now, you'll recall way back at the burning bush with Moses when Moses said, "Who are you?" And God said, "I am," the divine name. So when Jesus says, "I am this and I am that," Jesus is claiming, "I am God," or at least, "I am one with God." It's a bold, bold claim. And this one today is probably the boldest of them all. "I am the resurrection and the life. I am life itself," Jesus says. It's kind of a big deal. And it comes right in the middle of this whole John story of who Jesus is. Because resurrection and life are like this miracle is the clearest showing of Jesus' power, or of God's power in Jesus, rather. Resurrection and life tie Jesus to God. We need to go on, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Still in the center of John's gospel message, Jesus goes on, "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" He asks Martha. She says to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." That statement of belief, according to my sources, is the very center of John's gospel. That's the response that John would hope that everyone has to the stories of Jesus. "You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." This is what Martha believes. This is what John wants all of us to believe. Martha believes Jesus. This is the goal of John's gospel. It's to get folks to believe that Jesus is God and is of God. Now, if you've read the rest of the scriptures, or at least the important parts, I would say, you may have noticed that God has always been about resurrection and new life. God has always been about resurrection and new life. There are so many stories all through the Hebrew scriptures, all through the New Testament, of God bringing life from death, of God finding a situation where there is no life and saying, "Life will prevail here. Life will win out." In today's first reading from Ezekiel, we get one of the classic stories of God bringing new life, the dry bones in the valley, right? So Ben got to teach the kids a song about that. We'll also be doing that song at the Easter Vigil, because at the Vigil of Easter, the Saturday night before Easter Sunday, you know, we get together, we have this big worship service, it's the most fun church of the year. And we read seven of these Hebrew scripture readings. One of them is this dry bones one. So you may have noticed when it was reading, I did some little bitty sound effects. I did the bones and the breath and some of these things. Now this is like the most subtle of these readings that we do at the Vigil. They get a little... They get a little animated on that night. Raucous is a good, yes, Deb, raucous is a good term for them. Because these are the stories of God bringing life from death. It happens again and again and again through the scriptures. And so I would encourage all of you to come join us at the Vigil of Easter if you can. Really be here for the whole Holy Week. I mean, next week we got Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. We'll hear the story then. And then we've got Maundy Thursday when we hear about Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples and the foot washing that happens there. And then Good Friday, when we hear what they call it Good Friday, even though Jesus died that day, because I don't know, at some point Christians forgot about irony, but irony has been baked deeply into the Christian story for a long time. And then on Saturday, of course, the vigil where we hear the first proclamation of what happens on Easter Sunday. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, the big day, when we'll gather again. All of this, again, like I said, I don't like to spoil the surprise of what happens. even though we've been talking about it this whole time. But I do recommend, if you have any possibility of doing it, please come and check out the whole week's worth. Hear the whole story of God's path, of God's journey through death to resurrection. Amen.